This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to Big at Night Hour 2. This is a very somber intro. And here's the thing, I like to have a little fun. If I wasn't drinking energy drinks, Rocco, this might put me to sleep.
It's all right.
It feels victorious.
Julio, you're responsible for this, too. You're training the young man.
I mean, this is his pick. I can't say no.
You know what? I like it. You can be the nails. The limited stuff you have, you've been good.
Right. And I was hoping Kent would actually hear that. I kind of did it for him because he picked us up about the music earlier.
That was the fastest hour.
That was
radio.
Quick.
I mean, Kent, I didn't even scratch the surface. We start talking about the Royals, the Red Hot Royals. Best home stand of the year, couple wins, four game sweep. They haven't swept the White Sox in four since 94. Now, they don't always do that. They play a lot of three game series. Still very impressive by the Royals.
Not bad. The Starling effect is real.
Starting pitching, 1.08 ERA between Junis and Sparkman and Duffy and Keller. They've been fun to watch.
Everybody's kind of driving the bus right now. It's fun.
It is fun, and the Royals have been fun to watch. And last year they were fun to watch. But I think the thunder was kind of stolen by the Chiefs and how good they were at the beginning of the year. The people lost track when Mondy was doing all these great things and finishing fourth in stolen bases, playing, you know, half the year or whatever. And the Royals did some fun things, and they're doing fun things this year. But
do you feel like Witt is still kind of flying under the radar?
Oh, 100%. He's the most underrated. I think he could be the most underrated athlete in this town in the last two decades, maybe three decades, because how good he is. I mean, he's doing things that haven't been done since like 1922 and 1932, and he's doing things in the game of baseball that are insane. In leading the league in hits again, if he leads the league in hits, the first right-hander to do it since Kirby Puckett, 88-89. The guy's ridiculous. 121 straight games, and I didn't get a hit today.
Right.
He needs a hit in Cleveland. But he had back-to-back three hits night before. He's had 15-game hitting streak. He's had three of those in his career. It's unbelievable just how good of a baseball player that he is, but very, very underrated.
Would you rather have him than Ken Harvey, though?
Okay. Rocco.
Kia Kaiui? That's a good name.
Rocco, what are we doing here? This is Julio, do you allow this?
It's your show, Big.
No, but you're training. Rocco's doing a fantastic job, except for these silly hypotheticals.
Ken Harvey was great. He looks in the black uniforms they had back in the day. He looked like he was just incredible.
He made an all-star game by default, and he ended up playing for the T-Bones.
You're letting him take you down a rabbit hole, baby.
He looked good in T-Bone uniform, too, didn't he?
Mm. I liked him. One of the things I didn't talk to Ken about, fellas, and we'll think about this. Now, keep in mind, are you fans of the NFL Top 100? I am, because it's 1,098 ballots. The people, the players pick it. And they started July 22nd. They started next Monday. James Palmer is supposed to come on and talk about that next week. He's going to be in Chiefs camp right at the beginning because Chiefs are what people want to talk about. So where the writers want to go. They want to go see that. They want to go see the Chiefs. But they started July 22nd, and they do 10 per night. They go all the way till July 31st where they do 10 to 1. And then Wednesday, top 100 reaction. So I can't wait for that. See where Mahomes end up. CBS Sports did one, and they put Mahomes number two behind Aaron Donald, which Aaron Donald's the best defensive player in football. However, I give the nod to Mahomes because he's a quarterback. Different position. You touch the ball every time.
Absolutely.
You are the solo catalyst for the team. But one of the things I was going to talk to Kent is, remember a couple years ago the Chiefs were facing a ton of backups? You know, the quality of quarterbacks, and we still don't know what happened. Injuries can happen. So do I doubt the Chiefs will play all these quarterbacks? But there's some good ones. You start off playing with Nick Foles. I actually have a lot of respect for Nick Foles. He's getting his chance to be a starter. Guy was a Super Bowl MVP. Eagles don't win a Super Bowl without Nick Foles stepping up. And matter of fact, he wouldn't even be in the league if it wasn't for Andy Reid. if it wasn't for Andy Reid keeping him, you know, coming back and playing football. Once he's let go by the Rams, he came into Kansas City. And say thanks, Philadelphia, once again to Andy Reid for helping you guys out. But you got Stafford. Listen, Stafford's he's paid like it, but he's not that guy. But still, they play Andrew Luck.
Sure.
Comeback player of the year, but it's at Arrowhead. And Andrew Luck threw twice as many interceptions on the road than he did at home. You play Deshaun Watson. They play Aaron Rodgers. Plays Kirk Cousins. Phillip Rivers twice. Phillip Rivers, to me, is the best quarterback not to have won a Super Bowl. Trubisky, up and coming, and he plays Tom Brady. There's some good quarterbacks in the mix there that the Chiefs play this year. It's no slouch, but I'll take Mahomes over all these guys. And the most frustrating thing to me is I kind of wanted the Golden State effect on the New England Patriots this year. I wanted the offseason storyline to be, is the Patriots dynasty done? The Chiefs had a chance to throw dirt on that bad boy in that AFC title game, even though we know the Patriots aren't done. But do you remember when the Chiefs pasted them back in 2014, 42-14, the night before the wild card game? And then all the questions came out. Should Jimmy Garoppolo be the starter? You know, Belichick was answering questions. And all Brady's done is gone to three Super Bowls and won two of them since that night.
It was great.
But do you agree with me that the Patriots would have been the offseason storyline? Are they done? But now we're seeing Brady run the 40 faster than he did at the combine. By the way, I've seen video of him on a damn horse. There's something about these horses and quarterbacks. I don't know what it is. But I saw him riding the horse. And not through water. Not through water. My quarterback rides through water.
Walks on it, too.
He does. It's a big difference. But the quality of quarterbacks are good that the Chiefs play. He's got a chance to go toe-to-toe with Aaron Rodgers. Got a chance again to go toe-to-toe with Tom Brady. Those are ratings dreams for the NFL because that'll be all that's talked about that week. It'll be Rodgers versus Mahomes. It'll be Brady versus Mahomes part three. Now, Mahomes had the chance to win both those games against Tom Brady. And this is a fun year because, Julio, what I've been doing, I went back. I was asked the question, has Mahomes ever had a good defense? He didn't at Texas Tech. That's easy. He didn't. His final year there, 128 teams, they were 128th in scoring defense, meaning he had to score every damn time he was on the field, and he had to score a touchdown.
Like he did last year?
Yes. The Chiefs reminded me of Texas Tech. They did. Although they were a better all-around team than Texas Tech, because Texas Tech would find a way to flounder around with five or six losses. And why Kingsbury has a job in the NFL is because of Pat Mahomes. That's gravy training 101. If you want to know why Cliff Kingsbury is a head coach in the NFL, thank number 15 of the Kansas City Chiefs. David Beatty admitted that Johnny Manziel helped him get to where he's going because he was the recruiting coordinator at A&M. And that became popular to grab people from Texas A&M because of Johnny Football. It was that effect. It was the Tom Brady effect in New England where Bill O'Brien gets a job. Charlie Weiss got a head coaching job. Romeo Crennel got a head coaching job. Scott Pioli became a GM here and an assistant GM in Atlanta.
Matt Patricia now.
And Patricia. Now, as far as that Belichick system, we all know it's Tom Brady or Bill Belichick, and we'll debate this through years in bars when they're both retired. Is it the chicken or the egg? Because I'm curious if Belichick or Brady will ever try to attempt. I don't think it'll be Brady because I don't see Brady with another team. I could see Belichick lasting a year after Brady. Now, he's done it without him. He went 11-5. Believe it or not, he didn't even make the playoffs going with Matt Castle and being 11-5. That's crazy. He went 11-5 and don't make it. He made it 3-1 without him, using like Jacoby Brissett and stuff like that in New England. Guy's a hell of a coach. But the offseason would have been, is Brady done? Is Mahomes surpassed Brady? Had he beat him in that AFC West title game, the AFC title game, that would have been the story. It's like the Warriors. People are putting dirt on him because of the injuries. That would have been the storyline, but didn't happen. It's a storyline in the NFL that did not happen that was a big storyline. But I like the fact that Mahomes will be challenged this year, and I think he's going to be more up for it. So I went back to high school and looked at Mahomes' final 2 years and at White House in Texas because they have the box scores on Max Preps. One of the games he threw for like 43, and the other was 582, five touchdowns in both. They scored 60 in one game and 56 in one game in Texas high school football playoffs and lost both of them.
We talked about this last week or the week before. Is that That's hilarious.
So, but I mean, regular season didn't matter, but when they got in the crunch time in the playoffs, you know, he's putting up 60 points at 483 yards and five touchdowns and not winning. So it led me to believe, what will Mahomes do with the defense? Will he know what to do when they make stops?
Doesn't really change. I don't think it really changes the way he plays at all. So, I mean, if anything, it's just more support for him, but he's just going to do his thing, I'd imagine.
And I think the Chiefs will look at things with a different approach. I think they're going to pound the rock more. Running the football became sexy in the playoffs. The Patriots did things that weren't conventional. The league last year was about offense. The Patriots, during the playoffs, ran the ball for like 140 yards a game with their team. So they ran the ball and they played defense. They kept the number 2, 7, and 1 scoring offenses, the 10 total points in the playoffs. They did it with defense and running the football. Everybody else zigged. The Patriots zagged. Ended up winning the Super Bowl with it.
Story of the last 10 years.
But I'm curious what Mahomes will do. Now, we debate whether he's going to have better numbers or worse. The thing is, he will be on the field more, Julio. The Patriots had the ball more in the first half than the Chiefs did the entire game of the AFC title game. Time of possession was a big deal. But if Mahomes gets the stop, are they going to take some pressure off him by running the football? Which will open things up. You start creeping the safety up over the top with Hill and Hardman. Mahomes could put up some ridiculous numbers. They may not need him to be the end-all, be-all like he was last year. He had so much damn pressure on him last year. I think it'll dissipate a little bit. I think they're an all-around better football team. They had the widest gap between scoring offense and scoring defense out of the playoff teams last year. And I think things changed with Pat Mahomes. I'm real curious to see how they use him. Andy Reid's been hard at work. You know, he shows up at work at 4:30 or more. Actually, earlier than that, because he's always beating Brett Beach, and Beach gets there at like 4:30. Andy Reid lives there. Andy Reid's finally got his guy, and I see a rejuvenated Andy Reid. I really do. I think the guy's rejuvenated. I think he's finally got the toy that he's wanted at quarterback, so much so that he's the one that called plays against Denver a couple years ago. Nagy was calling the plays that game against the Broncos. Reid did it. Because I think Reid wanted to test what he has. He wanted to drive that Ferrari for a game to see what he could do against the Broncos and Aqib Talib, and so far, so good. Overhyping him?
I wouldn't say overhyping.
Everybody said we overhyped Mahomes last year. I've been accused of overhyping Mahomes since he got here.
How can you overhype with what he accomplished last year? I don't think that's possible.
Do you imagine how tough it was at Chiefs practice not to see Mahomes lighting things up and doing what he's doing? I mean, Tom Ballee was talking about, Marcus Peters was talking about, they're talking about this guy's doing some crazy things on the field. These current players are talking about him doing crazy things on the field. He's so tough to play against. He looks you off, throws the other direction.
Well, that's what makes him so difficult to play against, right? And to your point of you know, maybe he'll have the ball less because they'll run the ball more. But then if that is the case, that opens it up on the top end, right, for him to go deep. So I don't necessarily think that is going to be the case. I mean, quite honestly, if anything, I think with having a year under his belt of actual gameplay, I assume Andy Reid's going to actually open up the playbook even more for him.
I think so, too. NFL.com did camp previews for the AFC West. Who are they saying is going to shine on defense? I'll let you know next. Welcome back to Bink at Night. Jay Binkley here. A lot of football tonight. Get your fix. John Kurtz, K-Man, Manhattan, Kansas, with Big 12 Media Days. Had a nice sit-down with Skylar Thompson. Check it out, 435 Podcast Network. He does a great job, K-State fans. All your information you need to know on the 435 podcast channel. He'll join me this year. You know what I'm doing? I finally got it, Julio. I begged. I protested outside the building with a sign saying, give me a college football show. Many people joined in on it.
What's many?
Actually, that's...
I feel like you're exaggerating.
It was just me.
Okay. Sorry.
It was just me, but I wanted Specter to see it. Right? I put lights on it and everything else.
Okay.
Showed up at his house, did a lot of things, you know. That's just give me a college creepy football show.
It's a little creepy.
Well, I'm just saying, it's going to be fun. I get a college football show this year. sorely needed. It's back to a couple years ago when CDOT and I did it.
Congrats.
I'm going to be hitting Missouri. Yeah. I'm going to be hitting K-State. Going to be hitting KU. I'm going to have a lot of fun, a little national college football news. But college football is one of my passions, and I love it. And I've got this new TV deal set up with this cable provider that with picture-in-picture, it got taken away with these cable companies because I used to have that. But I've got this cable subscriber, and I'm not going to say who it is because I don't think they advertise. But it's pretty cool because I can push the multi-view, and I've got all the games to choose from. And I do it up.
Kind of like a red zone type thing?
But I do it well. See, here's the thing. I keep my cell phones. All right, if I trade my cell phone in for another one, I keep it. You take the service off, but you still use Wi-Fi on it. So you use that for your cable subscriber because most of them have now where you can watch games online. So you bring the computer up. Got a couple laptops, one that I bring to the games. It's kind of a smaller one. It's like a tablet. Game on there, game on the other computer. And then I use my current cell phone and last year's cell phone to watch games with because I like it. And I like going to the games too. But I pick and choose. I like the 11 o'clock games if it's in Manhattan or Lawrence or Columbia so I can get back in time for the night slate, which is ridiculous. You talk about cognitive dissonance, post-decision-making theories, where you become overwhelmed at times with college football because you're watching so many, and it's so frustrating because you like to lock in the one game like you do in the NFL. You lock in the one game. But college football at night, the slates are so good. You have so many damn good games on spread out all over, and you got to choose which one you're watching unless you multi-view it, but you can't totally concentrate on one. I usually end up finding myself watching one over another. I keep an eye on it because that's just the way it works. It's college football season is so crazy to me. I love waking up in the morning, getting done whatever you got to get done.
Brushing your teeth with the beer.
Brushing your teeth with the beer. But sitting down, watching game day, seeing Corso, you know, pick the team, putting the hat on. I love College Game Day. I think it's one of the best shows out there. I just do. I love the campus, the atmosphere, people getting excited about it. And I think other people have copied it. I think politics has copied it with the way they do debates and everything by having, you know, different consultants out front of the building like we've seen before. And I think they took a page out of what College Game Day is. But I absolutely love that show. It gets me hyped and pumped for the games. And then you sit there and watch 11 o'clock. Then you watch 2:30 slate is ridiculous as well in college football. And then you have the night slate.
Can I admit something to
you? I was a voter for a couple years, but I had to back off of it. You know why? I spent way too much damn time on it. Way too much damn time on it.
More than you already spend.
Way too much time because you sit there for hours and hours picking your top 25. And the reason you want to be good and right is because you will get, because your name is put out there on the AP's website. It'll show who voted for who. And you will get emails and tweets from people saying, why did you put my team? I'll never forget the Utah fans all mad at me because I had Michigan ahead of them or Michigan State ahead of them. And then Utah, as soon as I get this email from some dude that was very nasty, Utah went and lost some games.
Who takes the time to
do that? And
Michigan
State ended up in the playoffs.
That sounds like some personal issues. But full disclosure, Bank, I'm going to be honest with you. Not that big of a college football fan. I can't sit there and – I can totally do that for the NFL and have multiple games going and paid. I can't do that with college football for whatever reason. I just cannot other than
but
watching
college
local
football
teams,
is
I can't
the NFL. It's where this talent though, comes from. It's not Major League Baseball. We have international free agents, JUCO and high school and everything else. 256 players around then if it was some comp picks, 254 to 256. You're seeing your NFL talent right in front of you.
But I think that's why I don't necessarily like to invest my time and energy into it is because they're keeping up with the recruiting and doing all that and the turnover. It's just not for me. I like more of the NFL side of things where I can follow a player for a couple years and he stays in the league and they're bigger impact guys. It's just hard for me to really invest that time and money into a college football team and player when I know they're just going to go to the NFL and I'd just rather follow their career there.
But the one thing about college football is, and Arrowhead Stadium has a slice of this, if not more than any other team in the NFL with the barbecuing, the tailgating. It's like a college atmosphere. The players will even say it as well. But it's the whole pageantry of it all. I mean, they said when we have playoffs, it'll diminish the regular season. It hasn't done that at all. because it becomes even just as important.
That was nonsense.
To slate yourself as one of the four in the playoffs. And the games do matter, and they matter a ton. It never diminished it. They need to get the eight teams in the college football playoffs because you need every power conference represented. You don't need these deals where you win a power conference and you're not in it. You don't need it. And it's just the whole pageantry. The fans get really into it, man. The college football, to me, that's exciting because I like buildup. I like electricity. I like drama. That's what you get in college football games. What? It's insane. Like watching, you know, in Clemson, you know, going down and touching the rock before the game. That stuff's cool, man.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's for me, too. It's maybe because, you know, I'm from upstate New York, moved here where college football is big, but it's not like SEC country, right? It doesn't necessarily have all the pageantry. Not going to lie, I'm also like, I'm a big KU guy. Football's not necessarily a thing, so I guess maybe it's that's just part of it too.
But they're making it fun. LeSmile's making it fun out there. Puka's coming back.
Yeah, it's getting there. But I don't ever see myself invested in it the way that I would with the NFL.
Here's the thing with New York: they tried Rutgers. That's why Rutgers got in a power conference because they wanted that New York market. They wanted that New York market, and Rutgers was better before it joined the Big Ten.
It just never went to the Big Ten. That was a mistake.
But they did it because they want that New York market.
They're greedy. That's why.
They did. Because Nebraska came into the Big Ten with tradition, but they didn't come in with the television sets.
It's like us taking on West Virginia.
But they needed that Delmarva district for Maryland. They needed that East Coast, and they needed New York. Plain and simple, that was a TV move by college football. That was a TV move purely for doing that. And they still haven't got to the point that they need to be. Speaking of college football, Big 12 Media Days just concluded this week. One guy that was there was John Kurtz from K-Man in Manhattan. By the way, has a podcast on 610 Sports Radio, and he will be my go-to guy this year for Kansas State football. He had a sit-down with Skylar Thompson, who's taking the reins, probably his own job now, not splitting time. We'll talk about the Big 12 Media Days in Kansas State with John Kurtz next. And welcome back to Make It Night. You heard the promo right there, the 435 Podcast Network, 610sports.com. A lot of us do some podcasts we're pretty proud of on there, but one guy does one called Faithful to Our Colors Podcast, an extremely popular podcast. It's hosted by John Kurtz, who's down there in Manhattan. As a matter of fact, John is the sports director at K-Man in Manhattan. Host of the game K-Man 4 to 6 p.m. Monday through Fridays. And, of course, he does a lot of stuff pre and post, and he goes everywhere with the Kansas State Wildcast, including the Big 12 Media Days in Dallas. I went a couple years ago. I didn't get a chance to go, but I did get a Barry Switzer selfie when I was there. What's up, John?
Hey, I'm doing good, Bink. Unfortunately, you didn't get to go when it was at Cowboys Stadium, which was pretty sweet.
You know, I didn't. When I did it, it was at the Omni Hotel down there, and it was really nice, and it was spacious. The SEC kind of crams everything into, like, a small space there in Birmingham at the Hyatt, even though they're going to be moving to Nashville and Atlanta to doing it. But the Big 12 Media Days are so accessible, and I like the fact they make the coaches, the players available. And I think you can really get some good information. It's kind of low-key, and the way that they do it kind of makes everybody accessible. And I find the Big 12 Media Days to be incredibly valuable.
I do, too. I mean, I tell you what, being somebody that does, as you just rattled off there, 10 hours of radio a week in Manhattan, Kansas in July, it is a treasure trove of information to come out of there with, not just from K-State, but you get a chance to ask some of the other coaches about things related to K-State. I thought it was interesting asking like Matt Campbell from Iowa State, Matt Rule from Baylor, a couple guys that went Group of Five to Power Five, about how different they think that jump is from going FCS to Power Five like Chris Klieman is. And it's interesting to hear their perspectives. And, of course, they were pretty political with what they said, but basically seemed to think football is football and it's not going to matter. But that's the kind of thing that's cool. You don't really get an opportunity to talk with those guys, not even at the podium. That was just more one-on-one in the breakouts that happened after that. So I know that Media Days, some of what Media Days is a little bit ridiculous, but it really does help for those of us in shoes like me and yourself, Nick.
What did you find out on the Big 12 Media Days? Because not a lot of run for Kansas State. The Sooners were picked first, followed by Oklahoma, then Iowa State. Kansas State finds itself in its usual position, although a little further back. They were picked ninth out of 10 teams in the Big 12, Kansas bringing up the rear at 10. I look at this, and I always looked at Bill Snyder's teams and kind of laughed where he was picked, usually around sixth or so, and he'd be much higher. But ninth for Kansas State with Chris Klieman and a quarterback returning like Skylar Thompson. Did the media get this one wrong?
You know, if it were me, I would have K-State a spot higher at eight, but I don't have too much of an issue, in all honesty, with them being at nine. Just because the roster that's been inherited by Chris Klieman does have a lot of holes. It's really no fault of Chris Kleiman's own or no fault of anybody's other than Bill Snyder and the previous regime that they're picked ninth right now, because that's just where the roster's at. Now, they've had some setbacks, too, in that they lost a couple of receivers. I think their top two receivers in Isaiah Zuber and Hunter Rison. Rison obviously had an arrest that led to his transfer, and then Isaiah Zuber also had a discipline issue that led to his transfer. So, again, it's tough to blame Chris Klieman much for that. And then defensively, they lost their best player in Justin Hughes, a linebacker, to an ACL injury in the spring, which is an unfortunate hit, too. And, you know, when you start taking those hits as a team that doesn't have a whole lot of depth, I think that was pretty apparent with what we saw last year and over the last couple years, where recruiting has fallen off even from K-State levels. Not typically a program that recruits particularly well as far as stars go, but it had really dropped off. And so now Chris Klieman has to figure out a way to generate some momentum with a roster that's full of holes. He's been used to being the FCS Alabama with better talent than everybody at every position, so it's a different kind of challenge for him this year, and I can understand the media being skeptical of that and how that's going to translate for Klieman early on in his career at K-State.
Kleiman's won four national titles at North Dakota State. Wasn't he a part of two of them on the defensive side? So he got a total of six when he was there. Is that right?
Yeah, actually seven.
Seven.
Because he made a joke about the fact that Les Miles was wearing his big fat national championship ring at Media Days, and Brett McMurphy asked Klieman, "Where's yours? Why aren't you wearing one?" And he said, "Well, I have seven of them. It'd be pretty heavy if I tried to wear all of those around here."
Because he won all those with Craig Bohl, didn't he, those three?
Yes, he was defensive coordinator for three of those.
Yeah, three of those. He knows how to win. He's an impressive guy. You know, he came in studio when K-State was making their rounds and come to Kansas City, and I had a chance to talk to him. The one thing, I do a lot of high school football stuff around here, John, and I talk to a lot of high school football coaches, and the amount of respect, and I can always, you know, get a good feel for, and I think it's important because we've seen so many talented players out of the Kansas and the Missouri side of Kansas City go to other places. You know, I'm seeing Ronnie Bell, the Simone winner at Park Hill, score some touchdowns last year from Michigan. Graham Mertz, the best quarterback in the state of Kansas, going to Wisconsin. Daryl Henderson from Bishop Miege, four-star receiver, going to Minnesota, which was a bit of a surprise. But Klieman does have respect because he's had some guys from the Kansas City area play on North Dakota State. And I know the coaches respect the hard work and what he brings, and he has been able. He recruited Kansas City at North Dakota State, and I think it's very important to have that relationship with Kansas City coaches. Yeah, you need the national ones that like you, but you got to start in your backyard because there's a tremendous amount of football talent in Kansas City as of late, and I do think he has an upper hand because he does have that respect.
No, you're spot on with that. He has a lot of experience recruiting Kansas City. They did that quite frequently at North Dakota State, and that has given him, I've heard the same things you have, a ton of credibility in the Kansas City area. They took some chances on lesser prospects in the Kansas City area for this past class in 2019. Taylor Potier, who was an offensive lineman from Bishop Miege, Clyde Price, running back / linebacker, I believe, from North Kansas City. And I think that kind of thing helps out, too. Not that those kids can't play, but they're not just in there to come when they have highly regarded prospects that they're going after. I mean, they're really paying a lot of value to what's in Kansas City, and I think that will pay dividends eventually. He made it a point to say in his intro press conference, recruiting the state of Kansas and the Kansas City metro area is going to be incredibly important. It's a focus of theirs. They have struggled a little bit in Kansas relative to where they've had a lot of success, which is the state of Texas so far, but I think some of that is it's harder to get the in-state kids right away to buy in because they're used to kind of how stale the program had become under Bill Snyder at K-State the last few years. If you go to a kid in Texas that has no familiarity really with the school, I think it's an easier sell. So they're still fighting some of the stigma that's there. I think it'll come around because of things like what you said, that they have those deep-seated relationships with coaches and coaching staffs and a good reputation in Kansas City.
And I think that hurt David Beatty too, this reliance on Texas when there's good players right in their backyard. Daniel Jackson was the receiver I was talking about at my age, but it's a four-star kid going to Minnesota. Now, if you're going to Minnesota, you could have gone to K-State, or you could have gone to Missouri. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if you go to Minnesota, it's not like you went to Notre Dame or USC, places like that. Well, let's talk about Skylar Thompson. He's on your new podcast. I was promoting your podcast a minute ago, Faithful to Our Colors podcast. Extremely important stuff for any K-State fans. I recommend this. It's on our website, 610sports.com, 435 Podcast Network. You can catch John Kurtz there. Skylar Thompson was a guy I got to see a lot in high school at Fort Osage, and he's one of the better players I've seen come out of the area. I still put Sproles one. I put Bubba Starling two. But if I was doing a list of the top 10 high school football players I've seen in the Kansas City area, Skylar Thompson would be on there. I like the way he plays. I like the attitude. What's it going to be like for him in your conversation being the guy this year? Do you expect him to split any time, or is he going to be the total guy this year in Manhattan?
No, he is the total guy, and that has made such a huge difference in him. I think it comes across in that interview that you referenced. Last year, I mean, he was a good quote, and he was someone that's pretty forthcoming, but he was not nearly as confident as he is right now because he's always looking over his shoulder. I mean, to be frank, he clearly outplayed Alex Felton for most of the season last year, and inexplicably, Bill Snyder was still starting Alex Delton and refusing to say anything positive about Skylar Thompson in postgame press conferences, which was bizarre and a whole other story unto itself. But Chris Kleiman went to him after spring practice and said, Skylar, you're the guy. You have to be the one to lead this team, and if you are not confident in yourself, the team's not going to be confident. And he has really taken that to heart. You can absolutely tell. It was things as simple as last year when they had the two quarterbacks, Delton and Thompson. They didn't know who was the one that was supposed to set up 7-on-7 when they're just going to go out and throw on the field when they can't really be around coaches in the summer. Now there's no doubt about what's happening there. There's no division in the locker room at all. The players love this kid. Going back to when he was a redshirt freshman and came in and won some games like at Oklahoma State and Texas Tech for K-State, you could tell the rest of the team really thought he had that it factor. He was the guy, the quarterback. Now everybody can just fully embrace it. And I think that's the biggest positive K-State has with this team heading into 2019. It's a roster full of holes, but I think Skylar Thompson, in a conference with a lot of really good quarterbacks, is one that belongs in the second tier. I think he can reach his potential and be a second-tier quarterback in the Big 12 behind guys like Jalen Hurts and Sam Ellinger. But I think he's the real deal, and I think by the time he's done, he's got two more years left here at K-State, he's going to be remembered as one of the better quarterbacks that's come through in a while.
Alex Delton, gone now. He's at TCU. And getting TCU, now he's eligible to play right away, I do believe, for TCU. And I know Alex Delton was a guy that they're not, TCU. I don't think they did, but.
They did not. It was interesting. Sam Ellinger was the only other quarterback besides Skylar Thompson that went. But on Delton, I mean, I heard a lot of the same things you had about Delton really impressing at TCU so far. I found it interesting, one of our beat guys, I think it was Kellis Robinette, asked Gary Patterson about Delton, and he said that Delton actually sought them out. It was not them going after Alex Delton. He came to them and said, hey, I think this would be a good fit because the programs are similar. Gary Patterson right now has five other quarterbacks that are competing for that job, so they have a lot of competition there, and I took his comments about Delton reading between the lines to mean that now, Delton may wind up starting a couple of games. I don't think he's a long-term solution there. I think the reason TCU took him is that he's a guy that's learned how to prepare in the Big 12 with Bill Snyder as his coach. Pretty thoroughly prepared for every Big 12 game. He's an incredibly mature, sharp guy. I don't know that he has the skill set to help take TCU where they want to go, but I think he can be a really positive influence on their younger quarterbacks until they come around and are totally ready. So I think that's the situation. It wouldn't shock me if he starts a couple of games at the beginning of the year, but then gives way to one of the younger, more talented quarterbacks that TCU has on their roster.
Yeah, he redshirted his first year at Kansas State. He graduated, right? So he can play right away.
Yes, he is a grad transfer. Yep.
All right, and final question on Kleiman. I like the hire from Kansas State, and I know people are thinking, hey, man, it's K-State. I mean, I like the hire because he's a winner. And I don't care if you've won national championships, but winning national championship at the FCS level, don't forget, this is a team that beat Iowa. This is a team that beat Minnesota. This is a team that beat Kansas State. North Dakota State played up competition and played them extremely well.
Yeah, they had 5 wins over Division I programs, Power 5 programs when Chris Klieman was there. They also knocked off Kansas once upon a time, too. So they are not afraid of that at all. And that is honestly one of the things I took away most from Chris Klieman at Media Days. He told me his last conference Media Days last year for the Missouri Valley Football Conference that they played in, it was a teleconference. And this year he's at AT&T Stadium, home of the Dallas Cowboys, with a giant big screen in front of all the Big 12 media. And I thought he just handled himself like a pro, completely confident, very cool, calm, collected, didn't seem intimidated by it at all. And I think that shines through in what he's doing on the recruiting trail and just how he handles his business with the program in general. So I like his attitude. I think he's got a really good approach. I think he's got a very good attitude about what he wants to do. And that doesn't guarantee you success. You hear me talk about this some in the podcast. He's doing the things that are necessary for success. That doesn't mean that he's going to be successful, but you can't have success without some of those building blocks that I think he's putting forth. So I am pretty bullish on the opportunity that K-State has with Chris Klieman. I think it's a really good fit. It's going to be tough the first couple of years, but I think eventually in a long-term rebuild, this guy's going to get the job done.
That's John Kurtz. Follow him on Twitter, at J.O. Kurtz, sports director at K-Man in Manhattan. Also go to the 435 Podcast Network, 610sports.com. Faithful to our colors with John Kurtz. It's a must-listen for Kansas State fans or just football fans in general and want to know about the local players. Thanks a lot, John.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Anytime.
There you go, John Kurtz right there. And from the text line, Protein House, Eat with the Purpose text line, 69306. I respectfully disagree. From the 913, apparently you never watch Braden Smith play Bank. Not true. I watch a lot of high school football. You know, here's the thing. And maybe I wasn't fair. Because I didn't throw Evan Bame in here, and I didn't throw Braden Smith. Linemen are people, too. I'm a big guy. I'm a lineman fan. Evan Bame was actually Conference Player of the Year being a lineman. Simone Trophy winner, the first one that was a lineman. Braden Smith was excellent. Braden Smith went to Auburn, tore it up, and he's a big part of the reason the Colts turned their offensive line around. They gave up the most sacks in the NFL in 17, the least sacks in the NFL in 19 because they drafted Quentin Nelson in the first round. They went second round with Braden Smith. Yes, 913. But it's hard to quantify linemen. I was looking at skill positions. My apology, because linemen are people too. When we come back, we'll talk to Craig Stout at 8 o'clock, by the way, his summer of spags. Plenty of football talk left to go. But coming up next, Chiefs camp preview with NFL.com, who they see as the most important player next. And welcome back to Big Night. We'll talk to Craig Stout, arrowheadpride.com, at 8 o'clock. I'm just jamming it all in. That's what she said. Now, you know what? I need a co-host because the joke doesn't fall on any ears. I used to love the That's What She Said jokes with Wachowski. Love doing that. But if I'm doing a show of my own, I kind of got to do my own That's What She Said jokes. Do get the hang of it, Rocco. I put that on a tee for you.
There's a lot of things going on back here. I'm working really hard.
Yeah, it sounds like it. It sounds like it, Rocco. NFL.com put out training camp. Broncos already in training camp, by the way. They need to work. Of course, they play the Hall of Fame game against the Falcons. They got to play early. Got to have Drew Locke take over Joe Flacco's job out there. I'm pulling for the kid. But what sucks is that Drew Locke ended up with the Broncos. That really, really sucks. I'm tired of local kids like Shane Ray and Drew Locke ending up in Denver.
Same.
I hate it. It is hard to root for because I like Drew, you know. Always liked watching him in high school. He's like, you know, Simone Trophy winner. Like Skylar Thompson. They're all over the place. Darren Sproles, Simone Trophy winner. Evan Bame, Simone Trophy winner. I digress. Chiefs, they show up soon. 5 days from today. So we wake up tomorrow. It's 4 days until the rookies and quarterbacks show up. 9 days until fans can watch. 23 days till the Bengals game. Now, the veteran report day comes up pretty soon. It's the 25th when you'll see those guys and Anthony Sherman walking in his stuff.
Can't wait.
NFL.com puts the most important position battle, defensive tackle. Chris Jones is phenomenal, as he was underrated in 18. I disagree with this. They're talking about the trio of defensive ends, Frank Clark, Okafor, and with Ogba, all right defensive ends. Somebody's got to move to the left side. That's not it. The important camp battles to me, they all have places. Jones is going to be in rotation. Okafor, Ogba, they're all going to play. That's not a position battle to watch, in my opinion, because we know how good they are. Frank Clark's going to have a career year this year, in my opinion. I like Ogba. You know, Okafor is going to be the starter, but Ogba is a good run stuffer. When he was out in Cleveland, teams averaged a yard per carry more against Cleveland. No, to me, the battle is the receiver group that doesn't have the big name and splash behind Hill and Watkins, even though Hardman can be that guy, but the Garrett Dieters, you know, the DeMarcus Robinson. The Chiefs have a whole bunch of guys that are the same guys, and they have to decide which one they want. Maybe who's Mahomes' friend better.
I was just about to say, Garrett Dieter has the upper hand if this is the case.
He does, man. But D-Rob was with him on the boat. Dieter was there too, but they're on the beach together, and DeMarcus Robinson's with them.
Well, they've all been in the system for
a while.
They're
all on that damn horse in the water.
You gotta leave the horse in the water alone, Bing.
I'm telling you, if Mahomes invites you to be on a horse in the water, he likes you.
That's your defining moment, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
Well, to me, that's important because Cody Thompson, you know, this role they don't have, the guy that can go across the middle, undrafted free agent. Jamal Custis from Syracuse, they gave a bunch of money to, $100,000. There is going to be undrafted free agents, but not everybody can make the team. And then there's Byron Pringle. Good size. Last year had the injury, then he ended up having hernia as well. They found.
I like quite a bit, actually.
I like Pringle, too. Yep. The Chiefs are going to have receivers that end up on rosters. They just are. And they're going to be heavily scouted because Chiefs can't keep everybody, and teams know that. And especially the running back position, which I find extremely interesting. Is Carlos Hyde going to return to form? Is Darwin Thompson going to steal the thunder? The guy built like a human rock. Will he steal the thunder? Nobody's talking about Darrell Williams. If I'm Darrell Williams, he made the team last year as an undrafted free agent. He sat behind Fournette and Geis, put up huge numbers with LSU his final year, made this team last year. What about Darrell? Did he get better? He made the team, got some playing time at the end. We forget about Darrell Thompson. He's the forgotten man. What's he going to do? Is he going to show up and rock it out? Mm-mm. I'm interested to watch the running backs. I'm interested to watch the wide receivers. I'm interested to see how Spags works the linebackers. You know, Damian Wilson at Sam. You pit the Will linebacker with Anthony Hitchens, maybe the middle linebacker. How good's Ragland? Did he improve this year? Because he saw his playing time diminish last year. It's 4-3 scheme. He's the 3-4 in Buffalo. Rex Ryan gets fired. They don't need him anymore. They ship him to Kansas City because they're 3-4. Darren Lee. This guy's been working out like a beast. He's one of those guys that jumps on those high boxes, Julio.
That was a great signing, by the way.
I can't jump on high boxes. A shoebox would probably be my limit.
Can we test that?
No. No, I'm good. I don't know about if you know, my mobility's pretty bad.
You look athletic.
No, I'm not.
Limber.
No, that's not true
at
all.
Just sucking up to you at this point.
What's it to suck up to?
You are. You are. I don't walk very well. You've seen me. I walk crooked and everything else. It's not good. The newcomer player returning from injury to watch is Tyrann Mathieu. That's the key. To me, the biggest offseason move for this team was Spags. The next one, the Badger. The Honey Badger. The next one, Frank Clark. The only reason I put Badger ahead of Clark, because he's going to be relied as a leadership role, and I think Frank Clark will too, but the Honey Badger can play six different positions. He is the most versatile player on defense, and to me, he's the Tyreek Hill of the defense because he can do so many things, and he does so many things well, and he's considered the old man in his mid-20s. Come on. Come on. And the other one to watch, which nobody cares about, nobody, is Jack Fox, the punter from Rice.
Couldn't care less.
Hey.
Really? Really?
Nobody cared about Cairo Santos. He comes up here and sends Sucka packing. Packing. Talking about the former Lou Groza winner. Okay, it didn't work out. Worked out then. He's not here now. But Jack Fox, Rice, Dave Tobe spoke highly of him. 45 yards per punt. Ray Guy watch list all 4 years. Dustin Colquitt makes the money, even though the Chiefs can afford it. My thing is, Dustin Colquitt will probably still make this team because they trust that they're in a Super Bowl window and they need that pinpoint accuracy. But the problem with Fox is You think you can put him on your practice squad? He's the type of guy that will be poached and put on a, because you got to go to a 53-man roster. He's good enough, he'll end up on that 53. Coming up next, speaking of Steve Spagnuolo, Summer of Spags, Craig Stout. We talk Chiefs defense next.
Big at night.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.